Many of us will remember back in our earlier years reading a book called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It was a classic story by Robert Louis Stevenson. It was a story about a good guy, Dr. Jekyll, who was a brilliant scientist. He concocted a potion that would turn him into an evil man, Mr. Hyde. And so there was a battle going on within him between Jekyll and Hyde. I read that when I was an atheist, and I thought it was kind of stupid. Now when I read it, it smacks of Romans 7. It talks about the battle that goes on within us. We have a Jekyll and we have a Hyde. It's interesting to me that we've been talking about tradition in our class this morning, and Richard made reference to it in his announcements. What we're going to talk about this morning for a few minutes is something that's not tradition or shouldn't be. So many times I think we are controlled by what we call lifestyle. Our culture talks about lifestyle. The tabloids talk about lifestyle. That's really a Jekyll and Hyde proposition. Which one of those two came this morning in you? Your Jekyll or your Hyde? You see, the origin of our Dr. Hyde was back in Genesis 3 and verse 5. Satan told Adam and Eve, and it was sort of emphasized later by God, God knows that when you eat of the forbidden fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Knowing the difference between good and evil is a human characteristic. But a lot of us want to take a potion to try and avoid having control over that. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 21, we're told, "For since by Adam came death in Adam, all die." That's spiritually. We all have the potential for Dr. Hyde to become involved in our lives. And that's a lifestyle, and it's a choice. My friends, it's a choice. The Bible says that. Romans 6, beginning with verse 12. "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body." That's a choice, folks. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you obey its evil desires. And then the rest of that statement, "Do not offer parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness." So you got a choice. You have a way to use the instruments of your body. Dr. Hyde, the tendency of the world would have you use the parts of your body in the wrong way. So what do your eyes look for? Do your eyes look for the beauty? Or do they look for pornography? What do your ears hear? Do they hear music or gossip? Building people up or tearing people down? How about your tongue? Is it used to praise God, or is it used for profanity and dirty jokes, obscenities? That's hard. It's hard. James 3, beginning with verse 3, talks about how difficult it is to control the tongue. He makes the comparison between running a horse and having the reins and trying to control the tongue. What do you use your tongue for? Is it an instrument of good or of wickedness? Our hands can heal, or our hands can do violence. What are your hands used for? We have so much potential for good, but so many times we are immersed in doing things that hurt. It concerns me that so many of our video games that the kids use and some of us use are so obsessed with violence. And you see these hands flying, not to, especially thumbs, not to bring solutions and peace, but to do violence, to celebrate violence, to make that the focus of our entertainment. Our sexuality can be used as the glue of oneness in marriage. Or it can be used as a cheap emotional tool. And our society is bent on using our sexuality as a cheap emotional tool. And it's so hard to get people in the world, it's so hard to get our kids to realize the real mark of sexuality. What a beautiful, wonderful, positive, constructive thing it can be, and how it's been twisted to make it a tool of violence, a tool of control in our culture. We make a choice about how we use these parts of our body. Dr. Hyde, the potion we take because we fill our minds so many times with the stimulus to use these things in the wrong way, enslave us to its use. And we all struggle with this. We all struggle with that. 1 John, beginning with chapter 1, verse 8, says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If you don't think what I'm talking about this morning has application to you, the Bible says you're deceiving yourself. That's not me. I'm just an instrument. You're deceiving yourself. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar. I don't want to make God out to be a liar. I have to recognize that I have a battle. I have a tendency to choose a lifestyle that allows the instruments of my body to be used in bad ways. And each one of us struggles with that. That passage goes on and says His Word has no place in our lives. See, the battle going on within us is the battle between Jekyll and Hyde. We sell ourselves to sin. Romans 7, verse 14, Paul says, I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. Paul had that struggle. I have that struggle. You have that struggle. And part of it is that the world rewards us with the fruit of sin, which is fun. You know, all those things that I talked about, all the ways our body parts can be used in destructive ways, Satan uses because it brings us fun. Pornography can be fun. It can be funny. It can be interesting. Comics frequently utilize that. You know, it was one of the things there was a comic named Richard Pryor who probably had one of the greatest gifts I've ever seen in a comic. But then he got involved in some things that turned him to using evil things as his gift. And so his performances became more and more filled with sex, more and more filled with bad words, with profanity. Eventually led him to overdose on cocaine. And he has talked about this very concept of how we can be used in wrong ways. The forbidden fruit was good to eat, but people make money on sin. And if you don't believe it, look across the street. Genesis 2 and verse 15, 17 says the forbidden fruit was good to eat. So in our Jekyll and Hyde, we've got all this pressure coming to us to choose things that bring pleasure, to bring good food. And yet they're part of this destructive nature of Hyde. Hyde can and will kill us. Paul goes on in verse 24 here, and he refers to this in this way. I'm going to read Romans 7, beginning with verse 15. You may want to read with me. This is an incredible passage. At least it is to me. This so describes my struggle. I think it describes your struggle. I think it centers on this Hyde-Jekyll concept. I'm beginning with verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Soul is a slave to sin. Oh, it's so easy to become enslaved to sin. To choose a lifestyle that has sin in it. And people that come here on Sunday morning have that struggle. I have that struggle. You have that struggle. He goes on, and boy, can I relate to this. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. And what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good as it is. There is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I've taken that potion. I've allowed Satan to fill my mind and my soul with the things that are against what I know to be good and true and right. You know, I mentioned last Sunday, sometimes I read that passage. It talks about God knows our thoughts, and that scares me. You know, if it was my overt actions, I'd be okay. But my thoughts are where the potion is. You know, that's where I get into trouble. Verse 18, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do. And this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. But who put that sin there? Jekyll had to drink the potion. You know, he had to deliberately let it come into his life. I have to deliberately let my mind go in the wrong place. I have to turn on the television set I know is going to have something I shouldn't watch. And it's so important to know that I can turn away from it. You know, one of the things that Cindy and I like to do together as husband and wife, our date nights, are frequently going to shows in the area. There's a lot of good stuff around. We went to one last night that was hysterical. I kept thinking of people here who would have loved it. You know, two old boys talking about what it would have been like to live in East Texas at the time 45 years ago when communities were so oriented around individuals in the community. It was a small group. We went to a thing last weekend where we got up and walked out because it was so obscene. And it's so important to understand we make that choice. And sometimes I don't make the choices I ought to make. So verse 21, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Oh, Satan's going to be right there. He's got that potion there ready for you to use. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin that is at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? You know, that's the battle. And we know the answer to that last question. If you keep reading it, the rest of the verse says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Savior. We have a way of answering that. But why are we not overflowing with people here today? Why are there more people across the street in the casino than there are in all the churches on the south side of Dowagiac put together? Satan is powerful. People have sold themselves to sin. And it turns out that the promise of God, that in the day you eat of it, you will surely die, is applicable to all the people that are around us. But you and I are free moral agents. What we are slave to is a choice. Lifestyle is a choice. And we have gotten involved in tradition. We have traditions that are destructive to us. We have traditions of what we watch on television. Sometimes I'm amazed at what I see Christians watching on television. There are people talking about shows that promote all the wrong things. It's a choice. And what does it take to free ourselves from this tradition? What does it take to free ourselves from being a slave to the wrong thing? Sometimes it took a war. It took a civil war in this country to get rid of slavery. And you know, in spite of that, some of the slaves didn't want to be free. One of the strange things about our prison ministry is that we have all these men and women taking courses. I spend several hours every day grading correspondence courses, communicating with prisoners all across this country. And one of the interesting things is a lot of times, you know, you'll be tracking somebody and they'll get closer and closer to their release, and they get released. And I had a guy just this last week. He was released on Friday. He was back in jail on Monday. And in the process of all that discussion, this actually happened 2 weeks ago, but I just found out about it yesterday, that he's back in jail. Why did that happen? His exact statement was, "I don't want to be free. I'm secure in prison. I don't have to make choices in prison. And I don't want to get out, because the world is hard." See, sometimes making choices is not the thing we want. And there are people that are not here this morning that should be here because they don't want to make the choice to be free of being enslaved to sin. Sin is attractive. Romans 8:3 says, "For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature." Do you hear that? What the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the sinful nature. You can know the right things. You can know you shouldn't watch pornography. You should not. You can know you shouldn't be taking drugs or drinking alcohol or whatever. You can know all of that. But the hide in us, the fact that Satan is alive and well, makes the law useless. And so what's the answer? We'll read the rest of that. "For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man." Knowing what is right and wrong doesn't free us from being sinful, because sin is fun. But we can break the slavery to sin. We can do that by learning what sin is. You know, it's interesting to me, I've heard a lot of debates here and other places with church people in which there's discussions about whether something is right or something is wrong. I hear this phrase, "I don't see what's wrong with," fill in the blank. What's going on there? Well, what's going on there is we don't recognize sin. Romans 7:7 says, "I would not have known what was sin except through the law." The only way that we come to understand sin is to listen to what God says. God says this is wrong. When we read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and we wonder how to get rid of temper, how to get rid of anger, how to get rid of violence in our lives, Jesus says you've got to learn not to think that way. See, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, gives the key to not drinking the potion and becoming Dr. Hyde. We have to train ourselves. And it shows up in our lives. You know, when I was an atheist, one of my main problems was road rage. I did some stupid things. I'm lucky I had survived some of that. You know, some guy cuts you off, I'll fix you. So all of a sudden, I'm a demolition derby driver. And I was lucky I survived some of that. But you see, that's a symptom of what was within me. I've learned to become patient. I've tried to use the tool of talking to God about it, of dealing with Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And my driving's a lot different now. It's different because that particular sin is not controlling my life anymore. I got a bunch more I'm working on, but that one's not there. We defeat Hyde by having access to God's Spirit, God's soul helping Spirit. Enables us, when we utilize it, to become enslaved to something better. You can be enslaved to good things, too. As a matter of fact, that's one part of being a Christian, is to be in subservience to the good things. So their first thought is what is good, what's right, what's positive, what's helpful. What can I do to make things better? So again, Romans 8:2 says, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. You know, becoming a Christian is not just coming to church. Becoming a Christian is not just putting on the overt show. It's not showing up every time the doors are open. Being a Christian involves utilizing the things that God has provided to us. Listen to Romans 8, beginning with verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We did not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with groans and words that words cannot express. He who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because God intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. You see, so many times, we don't know what to ask for. God, I don't want to do this. Why can't I get over this? Why can't I handle this? When I was trying to cure profanity, I said that so many times. And I'm not even sure exactly how God did it, but gradually God, through the Spirit, removed that particular sin from my life. I could spend a whole morning telling you the sins that I have removed, because I had a bunch of them. And the trouble is, you could tell me a whole bunch more I still got. That's life. And that's where the Spirit comes in. I ask you this morning, what do you sell yourself to? Will you let God's Spirit work? Romans 6, beginning with verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? See, back at that time, they didn't have welfare. Back at that time, they didn't have all the help programs that we have today. The church was just beginning to get started, so there was no way to deal with the needs of families. So, in the process of that passage, he mentions the fact that some of these people had sold themselves to slavery. Because if your family was starving to death, you could go to a wealthy man in town and said, I want to sell myself to you. And you became a slave voluntarily. Because now you had food for your family. Now you had a place to stay. Now you had protection. So a ton of people were slaves because they chose to be slaves. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? That's pretty common sense. Whenever you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or sins to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So there's the other choice. And folks, you don't have a choice as to whether you're going to offer yourself as a slave. The question is, what are you willing to be enslaved to? Because you're going to be enslaved to the things the world brings to you. Are you going to be enslaved to God? You can talk about freedom all you want. The fact of the matter is, these forces are powerful and they control your life. He goes on in that passage and says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms. Just as you used to offer parts of your body in slavery to impurity, to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. Use your strength for good things. Why are we doing the road cleanup? Well, one reason we're doing the road cleanup is because we want the church to have a good image in the community. But another reason is to give us the opportunity to serve and glorify God in doing so. Why do we have the food pantry? Well, a good part of it is that we want to meet the needs of people in the community. But the other thing is, we want people in the congregation to get used to the idea of being able to serve other people. And as we look to new opportunities, the fair, the other things we're talking about, these things also should be used in that way. So that our strength is used for good things. And that passage makes it so clear. You can become enslaved to taking everything you can get. Look after number one. Or you can be enslaved to your thoughts and your resources being used to be good things in the community and change your family and the people around you in positive ways? Are you going to let Hyde control? Satan control? Are you going to let God control? He goes on in that passage. If you keep reading that passage in Romans 6, he goes on and says that if you're a slave to sin, it'll eventually lead to death. Verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hyde will kill you. Take Hyde out and put Satan in. Satan will kill you. Everybody in this room knows somebody. In most cases, we have a family member that we have lost because Satan had taken control of their lives, and that eventually led them to physical death. More important is that we need to avoid spiritual death. God calls us to leave Hyde. Don't take that potion. Live a new life. So what does it mean to kill Hyde? Well, what killing Hyde is, that's how you get rid of the circumstance. And what Jekyll does is he kills Hyde. What we do to kill Hyde is to die to sin. And how do we do that? Back to Romans 6, beginning with verse 4. We were buried with him through baptism into death. You become willing to let the sinful nature that is within you die. And you do that through baptism. And he goes on and says, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We've talked a lot from this pulpit about new life. We've talked about new beginnings. We've had a number of people here who have come forward and said, I want to make a new life. The problem is the potion of evil is out there. Hyde is always there. And we have to keep renewing ourselves to make that new life functional, to make it work, to make it do what God wants it to do. So baptism is what kills Hyde. Baptism is what frees us from being a slave to sin and giving the Spirit of God within us to be able to live a life that has meaning and value and purpose. God will draw you nearer, still nearer, but He won't do that against your will. If you wanted to draw yourself nearer to the world, to Hyde, to the destructive evil forces that are surrounding us, you can do that. But our prayer and our plea is that this morning you'll kill Hyde. That you'll let God's love, God's Spirit live within you. That you will turn your life to those things that are positive and constructive, no longer allowing sin to be in control of your body parts. Baptism is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful new beginning, but it's just that, a beginning. And if you're here this morning, if you haven't made that beginning, we urge you to do that. If you've done that, and if Hyde keeps getting into your life, talk to God about it. Pray about it. If you want us to pray with you, we'd love to do that. If in any way you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?